afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's special live edition of the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, RSE's Lost Works.
We paid good money for that.
Yeah. I'm going to play that in the bedroom some night. That's just, I can't. Stop shaking your head. No, Mick Orff. I am playing it in our, that was fun. So now I think we'll kick off with when we first titled this evening, The Lost Works, everybody assumed we were going to be showing exclusively this one thing. A few years ago, maybe you don't know about this, when Lost was about to enter its final season, the TV show Lost, the sixth season was about to air on Sky TV in Britain, and we were contacted by the PR people for Sky TV asking us whether we would be interested in reducing the first 5 seasons of Lost
into
10 minutes.
Which it needed.
Which it needed, and many people would argue at 10 minutes it was still too long. But but they told us this like at Christmas, and we were shooting the second week of January.
So happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Now, fortunately, I think I was the only one in the RSC who had actually been following or trying to follow Lost for the first 5 seasons. So we're going to show you the first couple of minutes of that event.
Hi, Damon.
Hi there, Carlton.
And hi, London Lost fans.
Hello, people of London.
How are you guys? We're so excited that you were able to come out for this big event tonight, and we are just sad that we can't be there.
Really, really exciting, and really, really sad.
Well, we're busy here, actually, still working on episodes of the show for this season. But, you know, it's really an incredible thing. I mean, this actually, I think, is one of those things that it's kind of a high watermark for us.
Yeah, it's, you know, to hear that the show is getting such treatment, it's been a dream of mine personally to have the Royal Shakespeare Company actually interpret the work of Lost that we've been doing for the last 6 years.
Damon, it's not the Royal Shakespeare Company, it's the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You can't have it your way all the time, so I guess at the very least, we will see what our words are like coming out of the mouths of fine British actors, because British actors always make everything sound so smart because we're pretty idiot.
Dan, yeah. Actually, the actors in the Reduced Shakespeare Company happen to be American.
Americans.
Yeah, they're Americans. And what they do is they do condensed versions of, you know, big things like Shakespeare plays or the Bible.
Okay, so...
small versions.
So, at the very least, we're about to see how they, over the course of, say, the next 2.5 hours, are able to cram 104 hours of our show into just that very short period of time. I can't imagine the challenge of sort of getting that into a 2.5 hour block. So at least
Damon,
I'm looking forward to that.
Damon, they're actually going to do this in 10 minutes. They're going to do it in less than 10 minutes. They're going to tell the entire 104-hour history of Lost to this point in less than 10 minutes.
Oh,
you know, should be a wild ride. So we're looking forward to it too.
On with the show.
See you guys soon.
Fantastic.
The most thrilling part about that was that we didn't know that Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse had recorded that introduction until we got there, and literally it's sort of the dress rehearsal. We went, huh?
Yeah.
So that was fun. Now that was. Many of the things that you're going to see tonight are not strictly Lost. They are not. They are available. We just never performed them live or performed them here.
Right. And a few of them. We're going to show something later on that I don't know that anybody's seen since it first aired on TV in Britain.
Well, exactly right. And we'll also air a few minutes of our pilot, the pilot that we shot for TBS, which has never aired anywhere. I don't think anybody's ever seen that. Yeah. But the next thing...
That's how good it was.
Yeah. It was so good, as you'll see. It's really an evening of crappy material.
Yeah.
Stuff that was not good enough to keep, which is why it's Lost.
So thanks for coming. But the next thing is not lost at all. It's available on iTunes, and it plays with some frequency on the BBC still.
We got most famous in Britain in 92-93. We ran the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged for a year at the Arts Theatre in the West End. And while we were performing there, some radio folks came to see the show and said, boy, you should do a radio series for the BBC. And we said, yes, we should. And so they commissioned, we wrote a six-part radio series called The Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show. And it continues to air from time to time all over. We get royalty checks in the singles of dollars. For this thing, and it's available also on. Is it available on iTunes and various places?
Yeah, and I think still in our shop, in our office, we have special 3D three CD bundles available.
And so, let's listen to the first, and then we'll talk about it a little bit.
Let's listen to the first two tracks. Garrett, go ahead. The BBC definitely wanted the radio show to have excerpts from the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged. There's so much physical in the complete works of William Shakespeare. We had to write much more audio than we thought we were going to have to do. But it was fun because then Reed and I got to write our own book about Shakespeare, which we did called The Reduced Shakespeare, The Complete Guide for the Attention Impaired Abridged. Available in all of your online booksellers, and many of your brick and mortar retail stores.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, both of them. If you ask, and they'll go, "Who?
Huh?
What?" Yeah. But anyway, we just thought we'd read a couple of excerpts from it to sort of give you a taste. We wanted it. We felt there was a niche that we could fill. There were certainly serious reference books out there about Shakespeare. There were obviously comedic books about Shakespeare, but we didn't see any books that were serious and comic.
Right.
And we thought we could fill that niche by writing an irreverent reference book. An irreference book.
And the original title we wanted to use was?
Yeah. The original title was William Shakespeare, The Complete Guide to America's Greatest Living Playwright. And you guys are laughing much more than anybody else has ever laughed at that title. Hyperion said that was going to be too subtle of a title, and they might have been right.
Subtle, our middle name. What do you remember about how this book came about?
It came about because there was a book packager by the name of Byron Price. And I guess for a while there, I don't know how long this went on, but I'm not sure they're still doing it. Well, maybe they are still doing it. Maybe somebody knows more than us. Anyway, Byron Price was a guy who brought people together. He packaged books. Maybe agencies used to do this, maybe in the same way that an agency used to package a Hollywood movie. So, for instance, Byron Price, one of his big things is to find a comedian like Jerry Seinfeld or Jay Leno or Weird Al Yankovic, and then a children's book artist. And get them together to write a kid's book. So Byron Price was responsible for many of those. So he approached us, again, when we were at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, I think he saw us at the Kennedy Center and said, yeah. Could we meet?
Could we meet, and did we want to write a book or a series of books? And we said, well, of course we did. And we wrote this, and he pitched it to a bunch of the big publishers back when there were a few. And Hyperion bid on it and bought it, and we were able to write the book. And was it published before or just after it published? When, anyway, at some point in the process, Byron Price was literally hit by a bus, and died. So, that's the funny part. It was incredibly sad, and so we haven't done another book. And then everybody that we
much like the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show.
Yeah. Yeah.
A series of books.
There's. And everybody we knew at Hyperion has left the business. Basically, everybody involved with this book has died or left the business. But it's still in print.
Not everyone who's read it, so please.
Yes. We have heard no reports of people dying who have actually read it.
Yeah. There's lots of funny little sidebars in this book. We go through, we talk about Shakespeare's life. We have a little few paragraphs about each play, what it's about, the main characters, famous quotes, and then all kinds of funny sidebars.
Well,
maybe Austin has a couple there.
There's a fun moment. There's a handful of, you can sort of count on two hands and maybe a foot, the specific things that we know about William Shakespeare. Shakespeare based on where he has appeared in the public record. And one of them is this. On March 13th, 1602, Shakespeare is mentioned in a bawdy diary entry by a law student who writes of Richard Burbage, by then so famous an actor that when a female admirer arranged a rendezvous with him, she told him to announce himself as Richard III, his most famous role, and she would let him in. Now, Shakespeare, quote, Shakespeare, overhearing their conclusion, according to this diary entry, beat Burbage to the ladies' chambers and was, quote, at his game before Burbage arrived. When Burbage announced that Richard III was there, Shakespeare called from inside, William the Conqueror comes before Richard III, proving that sometimes the pen and the sword can be mighty at exactly the same time.
You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Hi, I'm movie critic Bob Mondello, and though click and clack, the Car Talk guys bust a gasket when they hear it, I'm on National Public Radio.
Where can you RSC the RSC? On Wednesday of this week, we return with 2 months of performances of the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised in the UK until November 20th. We'll also perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged in Queens, New York, Clovis and Socorro, New Mexico, St. Louis, Missouri, and for a month at the Marin Theater Company in Mill Valley, California. Plus, we'll also make our debut in mainland China with The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised at the Wuxian Festival in October, and then we'll perform the ultimate Christmas show at Abridged in Illinois and Maryland in December. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader or email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to our live podcast recording from the Reston Community Center's Complete Works of the Reduced Shakespeare Company Abridged Extravaganza. This was a really fun evening of lost works hosted by myself and Reed Martin and featuring some special RSC guests. Now, I've cut out the excerpts and banter that you've probably heard before on the podcast, but hopefully you'll still hear a few new things you've never heard before. For instance, we were a video category in the 2005 and 2006 Tournaments of Champions on Jeopardy, so we showed those clips to the audience in Reston.
Is Macbeth.
Yes, and they're starting to sound more and more like the Three Stooges, my favorites. If only they had done Shakespeare. Now the last clue.
I will fight at sea.
I'll help you.
Huh?
Oh, kill me. I can no more. Ow!
I have immortal longings.
Ow! Ow!
Dave. It is Anthony and Cleopatra.
You are right. And that does it. And our thanks to the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Bill seems so fed up with us, didn't he?
Reduced Shakespeare.
What the hell? Obviously, now their third player was Michael Faulkner, who some of you have saw in... There he is. Some of you saw in the Shakespeare show the other night. And you'll see him Friday night in Bible.
Yeah.
Cleavage, by the way. Well done.
Yeah, lovely. Leave it to cleavage.
Spectacular.
So we shot that on the Sony lot in Culver City. We did not meet Alex Trebek.
Actually, I met Alex Trebek because I went to the... Because we filmed it on one day, and then weeks later, they actually... Months later, I watched the filming of that episode.
What I remember about... we shot all of them, although this was in 2 years, we shot them all in one day on the lot,
didn't we? Yeah.
So we shot, 10 or 12 categories or however many. And then we had to sign an oath of secrecy because if we told anybody...
That's right.
If we were a category on Jeopardy, word might get back to somebody who is competing, and they could start to research Shakespeare.
Well,
I think it seemed like 6 or 9 months before it aired, so we couldn't really tell anybody.
That's right. We couldn't tell anybody we were doing it. And the challenge for, we helped, Andrew Price is our friend who writes the clues, and we helped him write the clues sort of in our style, but he was the one who had to make sure that we didn't give away too much of the play. Because it would be quite easy, depending on how you write it. So we had to write it in a way that was, I guess, didn't give too much away, and was hopefully funny.
Yes, and so, I think we kind of succeeded in.
Yeah, because I kind of succeeded in being hopefully funny. But our work with Shakespeare continued just a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. We got approached by the BBC because they were doing a big project in England about
publicly owned art.
Yes, showcasing publicly owned works of art that are owned by the British government, right, or the people. So and I think people, they were trying to, you know, provide ownership, feelings of ownership amongst the folks. So anyway, they got a bunch of famous people to
and us
to give tours, to give online tours based around a theme or something. So here is our tour of the publicly owned works of art inspired by Shakespeare. Go ahead.
Unhand me, knave.
Nay, methinks thou dost insult me, sir.
Does that go about cross-gutted?
On guard!
Touché! Merde!
Café!
Calabruni!
Take that, varlet!
Oh!
Ow! Stop hitting me with your sword!
Ow!
Ow! Stop it!
Eek!
Ow!
Coming to a world, join us on an epic journey through Shakespearean paintings.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the art gallery, it's the works of Shakespeare on canvas, presented by the Reduced Shakespeare Company. 37 plays, 154 sonnets, and a couple of guys from California.
It's like an epic, but epicer.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener.
I'm Reed Martin, and we are
two-thirds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And we are thrilled to take you on this journey through Shakespearean paintings. As you probably know, we are Shakespeare experts.
That's right. Between the two of us, we've heard of most of Shakespeare's plays.
And Shakespeare is, after all, America's greatest living playwright. But many of Shakespeare's plays are complicated and confusing to the modern audience, which this painting perfectly captures.
Wait, what is this?
It's a recent abstract work called Once More Unto the Breach from Shakespeare's Henry V, in which King Henry decides to conquer France even though the English army is outnumbered 5-1. I mean, look at it. Don't you see the confusion of humanity, the wall already closed up with English dead?
I see confusion, all right. Mm. That's why I prefer this painting. As You Like It is about Rosalind dressing up as a boy so she can get the boy she loves.
That's always worked for me.
And it takes place in the real-life Forest of Arden. Did you know Shakespeare's mother's name was Mary Arden, and the Forest of Arden was named after Shakespeare's ancestors?
No, I didn't.
Do you care?
No, I don't.
You'll like this next image. Shakespeare was so far ahead of his time, he predicted the current unrest in the Middle East with this painting of the Taliban from The Tempest, painted in 1868.
Reed, it's actually Caliban.
That's what I said.
No, not Taliban with a T, Caliban with a C. Caliban was an indigenous half-man, half-animal creature the magician Prospero enslaved after being shipwrecked on an island.
And he's got these big ears, and he talks like this. They all talk like this.
You can just see Prospero's fairy sprites in the air above him. Victorian painters were fascinated by fairies.
And they also enjoyed musical theater. Here's a very famous portrait of a Shakespearean actor scratching his chin.
Yes, Baraccio's one of the bad guys in Much Ado About Nothing. Bad guys always scratch their chins.
Ooh, Baraccio. Baraccio's stroking his chin.
I shouldn't have put super glue on my fingers. I'll just keep it here and pretend like nobody will know.
What about this one?
There you go. Look at that. The actress playing Juliet, subtly letting the other actor know he's not supposed to enter until Act 5.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what this is about, but I figured you'd like it.
Oh, I do. This is from Comedy of Errors, where two sets of twins are separated in a powerful storm as babies.
Well, nothing says comedy like a shipwreck. I mean, did you see Titanic?
That's true. And this is one of the first instances we'll see where a painter has decided to capture an offstage moment in Shakespeare's play.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's one of the leading ladies from Shakespeare's day, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Reed, that's actually just a 19th century portrait of a 19th century version of Shakespeare's Juliet.
It is absolutely Gwyneth Paltrow. I saw her in that documentary, Shakespeare in Love.
Mm. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? You know, wherefore doesn't mean where are you.
It means why.
Why, Romeo? Why are you coming into my life? Because I love you. Because I was smitten.
They have shots for that now, if you get smitten. Smitten by Romeo. And here's a strange one of the three sisters from Macbeth. They look more like brothers, don't they?
They do, but that makes sense, because in Shakespeare's day, the women were played by men. I love these paintings that wonderfully convey the power, the majesty of Shakespeare's plays. Well, not this one. This conveys the lameness of early 20th century stagecraft. I did actually play Claudius once in a production of Hamlet, and I thought I made a very interesting character choice. I chose to play him like Cliff Clavin, the mailman from Cheers.
How'd that go?
It went a little something like this.
Here, my offense is ranked there, Sammy. It stinks to high heaven. Yeah. Yeah, Hamlet. Yeah. He's a problem. He's going to be a problem, Sammy.
To be or not to be.
No, that's not...
Now is the winter of our discontent, my glorious summer, by this summer.
No, you're just doing Shakespeare's greatest hits.
Oh. I love William Holmes Sullivan's depiction of Mark Antony's speech in Julius Caesar, with hundreds of Romans in awe of how clean he has managed to keep his toga.
And look at the scale of it. This was before the movies, obviously. Sometimes you want to see Shakespeare done with thousands of extras, but before the movies, you couldn't. You had to go to a gallery to look at the paintings. Although I think it's universally understood that these days, Shakespeare is always best performed by guys from California.
That's right. And because we're experts, the people watching this are now experts too. So here's a pop quiz. Which of these images most closely depicts what we actually know about Shakespeare?
Is it this one?
No. Is it this one?
Ooh, I don't think so. That looks like a guy at a Halloween party dressed as Shakespeare. Ooh, is it this one?
Now we're getting close. But I think this painting perfectly captures what we know about Shakespeare today.
Yes, perfectly captured. Shakespeare said in Hamlet to hold the mirror up to nature. That's what art does. It reflects who we are.
And I think that this painting captures it perfectly. What we actually know about Shakespeare is confusing and hard to decipher. Thanks very much for watching. I'm Reed.
I'm Austin. And we are
the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
We were in New Zealand. We were on tour in New Zealand.
Touring completely Hollywood abridged.
Doing completely Hollywood abridged. And I meant to look up the name of the producer of the piece because she was really terrific. And she was in London and we were on Skype recording this in some guy's house, home studio in New Zealand. And we recorded all the stuff we had written. And then she just said, yeah, could you do more? Just do more. Just talk more. And so so this is a combination of all the stuff we wrote that they cut down a little bit, and then just us improvising,
vamping.
And yeah. But it was. There are times I can't. I don't quite know. Well, the Cliff Clavin stuff was not written, but.
But it was true.
Yeah. But it was a fun. I thought they produced it and did a really good job with it.
Yeah.
I heard, oh God, I can't think of the joke. Oh, musical theater.
Right.
Fairies and musical theater. One of the things that we're discovering with this extravaganza is how many times we use either the same joke or the same kind of joke. I'm sure you've been here for all eight shows. You haven't noticed anything? You're very nice.
You haven't been paying close
enough
attention.
You're very polite. But we have a kind of a desk, a desk bell backstage, and every
time we either use or we fake.
Yeah, or we use or we fake. But every time we hear a joke, it's like, yep, ding, there it is.
Some kind of Nantucket reference. Ding, yeah. Ding.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I'm pretty sure I haven't put that tour of the BBC's publicly owned art on a podcast before, but you really need to see it. So I'll put a link in the description of this podcast episode on our website. What you just heard was only about a quarter of the evening. We didn't even get to the special guests. So I'll share more highlights of this fantastic evening on the podcast in the upcoming weeks. Thanks to all who came out to see our shows at the Reston Extravaganza, particularly this particularly geeky evening. Send us your lost works via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, lost jerk Matthew Croak. You'll understand why I call him that next week. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jennifer Orr. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to National Public Radio's film critic Bob Mondello, who hosted a Q&A in Reston after our final performance of The Hollywood Show, which I'll also share with you on a future podcast.
Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Thank you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener.
I'm Reed Martin.
Dominic Conti.
I'm Michael Faulkner.
I'm Dee Ryan.
I'm Mick Orff.
I'm Brent Tubbs.
And we are 7/3 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Thank you very much. Good night. That seemed very sincere and genuine. Thank you very much for that. I see already two of them, Stephen and Heather, right here, and Linda and Betty. These are the four people who have bought tickets to all eight performances of the Extravaganza. So, you guys, we definitely got to get your addresses somehow before the end of the week, so we can send you some swag bags once we get home.
You will have earned it.
It's going to be just priceless stuff.
No, worthless.
Worthless. That's what I meant. Worthless.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.